It's time for Bleed Tech Blue Radio. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside La Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Now here's your host, Jonathan Ford.
Welcome in, Tech fans, to Bleed Tech Blue Radio and ESPN Radio 97.7. I am Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com and host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I know there's some depression still lingering around Tech Nation, but we'll get into that in a little bit. It won't take long to get into that. Jared, a couple of sponsors, then we'll get into that depression.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio is brought to you by the Keller Williams Parish Wide Partners, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, and Dowling Smokehouse. Give us a call on the Keller Williams Parish Wide Partners hotline at 888-993-7762, 888-993-7762. Of course, you can email your questions to us at radio@bleedtechblue.com, or you can utilize Twitter with the hashtag BTBRadio, and we will answer your questions on the air.
A 20-point fourth quarter by Northwestern State by way of turnovers by the Bulldogs resulted in a 30-27 loss for the Bulldogs to the Demons of Northwestern State. Jared, I know you had an opportunity after the game to talk for an hour about it already.
Yeah, for a solid hour about losing to an in-state FCS from the Southland, which is not a bad FCS football conference,
but it's still FCS.
But it's still
FCS. And there's a huge scholarship differential.
Of course. Now, what fans do need to understand is that the difference in FCS and Sun Belt or Conference USA or American is not as great as what they watch every week when they watch these Power 5 schools play FCS schools. That was my only argument Saturday night.
Sure, I mean, there is that's a fair argument, but at the same time, when you've got that many extra scholarship players,
it depends on the caliber of the player.
The outcome should not happen. There's not a player on Tech's roster that Northwestern State wouldn't love to have. They all had FBS offers and chose an FBS offer ahead of it. I mean, they all had FCS offers as well. If you got an FBS one, you've got an FCS one. That's my point. But Tech did lose. 5 turnovers, 8 penalties for 74 yards. That's the whole story, in my opinion.
Yeah, they were able to convert 5 turnovers into 23 points, which, I mean, anytime you give away the ball 5 times, not very many teams in the country will win, but then you give up 23 points off of those turnovers. And then, of course, there was the 8 penalties, but it was also where those 8 penalties occurred. You can't rough the punter. Touchdown call back because of an offensive pass interference that was questionable, to say the least. But regardless, where those penalties occurred they extended drives for Northwestern State.
And you go to that offensive pass interference play. Coach Holtz did explain it yesterday in the press conference, and I'm still scratching my head about it. It's a play he says he's run his entire career. The running back goes on a wheel route. The outside receiver, if I remember correctly, takes an inside slant. They were in zone, so the corner picked up Dixon on the wheel route. The linebacker picked up the slant. Well, the referee thought that because the linebacker was on the receiver that he was picked.
Right, yeah. It works as if you're setting a screen in basketball. That's basically how the play is supposed to operate. But the corner and the linebacker are supposed to
cross paths
and cut each other off. What the referee interpreted that as the receiver picking off the corner or the linebacker.
It's a terrible call.
And then, but to make matters worse, when he explained the call, he turns his microphone on and he says, offensive pass interference on number 19. Number 19 is the number of Cody Sokol, the quarterback. I've never heard of an offensive pass interference call on a quarterback. So not only did no one know what just happened, they were upset because a touchdown was taken off of the board, and now the offensive pass interference is being called against the quarterback. No one had any idea what was happening, and I don't think the referee did either.
And even so, and there was a holding call on a pass to Hunter Lee that was down at the one, which – one play later, it's a touchdown. But take away all that, and it all happened. But you don't give up one of the turnovers in the fourth quarter, Tech wins.
Yeah, had Dixon not fumbled the ball, you can most likely run the rest of that clock out, and it's game over. They gave you a scare, game over. Unfortunately, Kenneth Dixon did fumble that football, and no one's harder on himself than Kenneth Dixon. And he certainly, I'm sure he felt similar to the way he felt after the Kansas game last season.
Sure.
And unfortunately, that did occur, and that result, that is what led ultimately to the 30-27 defeat.
And when you look at the average receiving yards for Tech's receivers, everyone is 10 or more yards. Hunter Lee at the lowest at 4 catches for 40 yards. You look at those stats, Tech outgained Northwestern State by over 100 yards. Average gain per play, 2 yards more than Northwestern State. They held Northwestern State to 2.7 yards rushing. When you look at that stat sheet, you don't expect there to be a loss. Until you get down to 8 penalties for 74 yards to 3 for 30, and 5 total turnovers to 2, and Tech only punted twice, and Northwestern State punted 4 times.
Even if you look at the defensive statistics, there was one play that went for 20 yards that the defense gave up. That was it. On offense, you're talking about the shortest long play out of any of the receivers and out of Kenneth Dixon was 15 yards. You've got passes of 21, 28, 38, 30, 20, 18, and 15. So not only was the offense being able to move the ball, they were able to pick up big chunks at a time. Not to mention, that's not including the pass that Carlos Henderson very well should have caught and been a touchdown, but that he alligator-armed and just let go off of his fingertips. So it's not as if they left big plays on the field. They did, but they still had a ton of big plays through the air and on the ground. Kenneth Dixon had a 17-yard run, 103 yards for the game, and a couple of touchdowns.
As Holtz has been saying really all year, and he says, I know that people laugh at me when I say we're a work in progress, and he is right. It's old hearing him say that they're a work in progress. But the other thing that he's been saying is that it's about them. It's not about the other team. It's about them. Go out on the field, take care of what you know to do, do your job. Tech does that, they win going away, honestly.
Well, Holtz said that the only way that Northwestern State was going to beat them was if they helped them. And they absolutely did, to the tune of 5 turnovers, 8 penalties, 74 yards, 23 points off of turnovers.
If you want to talk about this game more, I think we've wrapped it up enough in this one segment that we're done. Are you done?
I'm done.
Have you said your piece?
I've talked about this game for an hour and 15 minutes now. I am finished.
15 minutes was ample for me. We'll get into Conference USA football talk in the next segment. At 6:30, we'll have J.G. Tate from AuburnSports.com joining us, the AuburnRivals.com site, part of the Rivals.com network. We'll get into more Auburn talk at 6:45. 7 o'clock is, of course, our recap and predictions segment. That's the nutshell of Bleed Tech Blue Radio tonight. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. I'm Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com and host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Our weekly caller, Rafe, is waiting, and Jared's going to give us a couple of sponsors, then we'll get to Rafe.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio is brought to you by the Keller Williams Parish Y Partners, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, and Dowling Smokehouse. Join us on the Keller Williams Parish Y Partners hotline, just as Rafe has done, 888-993-7762, 888-993-7762.
Well, Rafe, we said we were done with it, but that doesn't mean you're done with it.
Well, I'll kind of sum it up like this. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. You're good.
Hey, I'm going to say the whole thing seemed like just a charity event. I think that with the fireworks, you know, we gave them a big celebration so they could feel good about themselves for a minute, because there's no possible way that they went that game without us giving it to them. So I think that, Bulldogs for Charity, we need to do it every once in a while just to help others feel good about themselves, and then we're done giving gifts of hope.
I don't disagree with your points, but I won't call it Bulldogs for Charity.
We said, all right, we're going to let y'all win and enjoy yourselves, and then we're going to have a fireworks celebration so you can kind of top it off with some beautiful fireworks for the family to enjoy, and then now it's time for us to get serious about beating teams. And, to me, most of the times when I lose games or we lose games like that, it's such a depression as far as our outlook going forward. But I don't feel that way. I mean, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to lose the game. It's embarrassing because it's an in-state team and all that. But the bottom line is there was a lot of things that we did well in the game. And it came down to execution mistakes, in my opinion. And that's part of the game. I'm not saying that you don't win or lose with execution and avoiding mistakes. But there was one team that was obviously better than the other one. There's one team that I thought showed the ability to improve. I'm not saying they don't, but I saw in our team an ability to improve on several facets. And perhaps we need to see what happens in a game like that in order to improve, because there's blind spots and that can open up some blind spots.
Rafe,
I agree wholeheartedly.
Rafe, when you looked at the season at the beginning of the year, did you expect 3 wins at this point?
I did not. I mean, I was hoping to be 2-2. Obviously, I was thinking just getting one of the North Texas or ULL games would be good. But the North Texas game was the biggest shocker to me, because, I mean, they're a hard-nosed, tough team. We're coming on a short week, and, saw what they did to their FCS opponent the following week. It's a route like this game, for example, that we played, I think, was a play or two from being not just a win, a route, to where we're not even discussing whether or not they can, hold us to the fourth quarter, because I think the floodgates were open. But we didn't make those plays, and we're 2-2, and that's fine. 2-2, I mean, hate losing the last one, but I'm okay with that going into Auburn as far as preseason predictions and really comparative to the rest of our Conference USA opponents. I think that we're going to hang with the top teams of the conference. I don't think that we're going to plummet like, for example, Tulane last year, whenever you saw that was probably as good as we're going to get in that game. And then we slowly got worse and worse, or definitely didn't improve. But I think this team has the components to improve.
I agree wholeheartedly. The goals set out at the beginning of the year of a conference championship and going to a bowl game are very much attainable, and nothing changed with that one loss.
And I'll say this, and of course I'm not going to predict the Auburn game, because I have only seen them play against Kansas State and then watch their how they're winning the other games. But I don't expect us to go in there and get dominated like we did against OU in the first quarter. I think that we're going to be in that game longer. Now, as far as what happens down the stretch, well, they may pull away, but I do think that our team's going to go in and hopefully make us proud and take this mud off our faces.
I agree. Thanks for the call, Rafe.
All right, man.
He brings up good points.
Well, that's what most need to remember, is that just like in 2000, after the 2012 season, Louisiana Tech fans thought that every year they were going to have the number one offense in the country and that they were just entitled to bowl games every season and all this stuff. And it's the same way after the quick start this year, 2-1, everybody's a little excited. And They forgot that this team was hoping to be 2-2 at the end of September, or 2-3 at the end of September, 2-2 at this point. They were hoping to win two games.
And you
they
gotta
win a couple of them that they didn't think they might would, and now it's the sky is falling.
And now you got to find four W's over the course of what, eight games?
Yeah, that's certainly attainable, especially when you look at the schedule that you've got, particularly from the eastern side of the conference. Certainly attainable.
So you go to Auburn this week, of course, and UTEP comes to Ruston on Saturday, October 4th, for a 6 o'clock kick. UTSA comes to Ruston the following 2 weeks after that, October 18th, kickoff time to be announced. I hear it'll be about a week out before we'll know that kickoff. October 25th, Tech travels to Southern Miss, a Southern Miss team who is, if there's a picture in the dictionary of a dumpster fire, it might have the Golden Eagles listed right there next to it.
And possibly also the FIU Panthers.
But the fact that the FIU Panthers, that dumpster fire has been roaring for about 20 years, there's not much to burn. There's a lot to burn in Hattiesburg.
So you've got one full dumpster fire and one empty dumpster on fire.
It's smoldering.
There you go. Okay.
There's nothing to burn.
We've digressed.
Like we always do. Western Kentucky travels to Ruston November 1st. A Western Kentucky team who's better than I thought they would be, but with Tech's defense, they're going to keep them in a lot of games. Tech travels to Birmingham, a team that's better than I thought they would be. So that's, to me, that's one of the biggest question marks left on the schedule. Travel to Old Dominion, another question mark. They gave Rice everything they wanted. Rice isn't very good. Rice came back. Old Dominion won it with a last-second field goal last week. Then Rice comes to Ruston for the last game of the year at 11 o'clock a.m. kickoff November 29th. So there's no doubt in my mind there's four W's there.
Oh, absolutely. There's four W's and a couple of more question marks that could go either way, and we'll know a little more.
It would not shock me. Let's just go ahead and call this weekend a loss. Nobody's expecting Tech to win. I think they'll be more competitive, like Rafe said, than they were against Oklahoma.
Particularly in the first half.
That defensive line for Auburn is ridiculous. But so was Oklahoma's. I wouldn't be surprised if Tech wins out after that.
Yeah, I could legitimately see them winning six for sure. Auburn would be a loss, and then you drop one. You could surprise some people, win to beat UTSA, and then maybe drop one to UAB or Old Dominion, something like that. One that you may not supposed to lose, but I could certainly see six. I still think that eight wins is absolutely
realistic,
attainable.
I agree with you.
And 7-5 is what I predicted at the beginning of the season, so that's not far off.
I don't know if I ever did. I nail a prediction down. I was really loosey-goosey before this.
I don't really remember.
I said it could be between 5-7 and 7-5.
Yeah.
Any of it would not have surprised me. Let's go over last week's games. Like I said, Old Dominion beats Rice with a last-second field goal in Houston. Marshall goes on the road to Akron, beats them 48-17. The Fighting Terry Bowdens of Akron. I think that's who's the coach at Akron these days. Nicholls State loses to North Texas 77-3. I guess that quarterback change was a little bit different there for North Texas.
Nicholls coach actually resigned at the beginning of the week last week.
I thought you were going to say at the beginning of the first quarter. That would have been awesome.
No, he was at last Tuesday.
Peace, I'm done.
Last Tuesday, Nicholls State's coach resigned because of critical health concerns that were discovered in a doctor's appointment on Monday, the day before, and they required immediate resignation.
That's good reason to resign. So there's reason for 77-3 is what you're getting at.
Yeah, yeah.
Louisville, like we have talked about last week, for some unknown reason, traveled to FIU and beat FIU 34-3 in their house. FAU loses a close one to Wyoming 20-19. Northwestern State, of course, beats Tech 30-27. Middle Tennessee State loses to Memphis 36-17. Appalachian State falls to Southern Miss on a blocked extra point as time expired, 21-20.
Just that Appalachian State was that close, it ought to tell you something about Southern Miss. Goodness gracious.
Yeah, that's not even almost the same Appalachian State team that knocked off Michigan in the Big House several years ago.
No, it's not. It's not even close.
It took 13 points from Appalachian State in the fourth quarter to make it 20-21. It was 14-7 at the half. Southern Miss, Appalachian State. Southern Miss scored another 7 in the fourth quarter. A little bit of action there in the fourth quarter. But yes, that's neither one of those teams are excellent. Total yards, Appalachian State outgained Southern Miss by 130 yards. Wow. It's bad. Southern Miss had 5 turnovers to Appalachian State's 4 turnovers. That sounds like that was an ugly game.
Well, yeah, that's why I don't know why we're still talking about it. Regardless, Marshall...
Probably doesn't like talking about the dumpster fire that is in Hattiesburg.
Marshall has basically faced the last of their tests outside of the Conference USA Championship game, beat Akron 48-17 in a game that was never actually that close. It was 48-3 at one point. Old Dominion has been what I would consider probably the surprise of the conference. Now 3-1, won their conference opener against Rice 45-42. But really, Tech is still absolutely in the race at 2-2. North Texas is 2-2. Middle Tennessee is 2-2. Southern Miss is 2-2. Although they won't.
When you look at the conference only record, Tech, I mean, they're still undefeated.
Sure.
So, and then you look at Old Dominion and Rice, when you look at it from an objective standpoint, clearly neither team can play defense. The final was 45-42.
Well, Rice, I don't know how many – I've watched part of
I would imagine the over-under was not 87.
No. I've seen some of the Rice games. I'm not convinced that Rice is very good this season. They're not. They certainly didn't look good against Notre Dame or Texas A&M, which were, you know, quality opponents. But they didn't. They just don't look near as good on defense as they did a season ago.
You look at this coming week. Middle Tennessee State travels to Norfolk, Virginia, to play Old Dominion on Friday night at 7 o'clock on Fox Sports 1. UTEP travels to Kansas State. That'll be ugly. Western Kentucky travels to Navy. That'll be interesting because of that triple option. I've told you this before, I'm pretty sure. If I was a college coach, I would run the triple option because nobody can prepare for it.
It'll be a fun game to watch. It's on CBS Sports Network, 2:30 on Saturday.
Man, he's shooting me down.
Navy's
favored to listen to me.
By 7, over-under is 68. I don't know. It's just hard to judge it. Like, Western Kentucky and Tech will play this season, but it's hard to take anything from the game against Navy into consideration when you look at it future game because Navy's triple option.
Correct. It'll tell you if they can stop the run.
Yeah, it will do that.
That'll be about it. Florida International travels to Birmingham to play UAB. UAB should not have any problems with the Panthers. Tech, of course, travels to Auburn. I think that over that line, last I saw it, was 31 or 32. That's about right. I could see a 4-touchdown differential.
Over-under is 61. So they don't expect Tech to score very many points.
They don't.
I mean, not many at all.
Take the over on that one, folks.
Absolutely.
We don't condone betting, but take the over. UTSA at Florida Atlantic. That'll be an interesting one for the Roadrunners. That's a long road trip from San Antonio to Florida Atlantic. I could see that one being a lot closer than Roadrunner fans wish it were.
Yeah, especially because if the FAU offense had put up 52 2 weeks ago, shows up. It could be interesting. I do think that UTSA defense, after having now played Houston, Arizona, and Arizona State, and Oklahoma State, the FAU could put up some points this week.
Oh, sure. And Rice travels to Hattiesburg to play Southern Miss. Well, we'll know how bad Rice is Saturday.
Yeah, certainly so. you don't think that Rice would be bad enough that Southern Miss, that a game against Southern Miss would still be close, though. I mean, they would have to have, I mean, they would have literally have to drop, I mean, exponentially far from a season ago.
But, you know, you talk about that, but last year, the last game of the season, Southern Miss blew the doors off of UAB, and UAB's come back this year and could be arguably the most surprising team outside of Old Dominion.
Well, I mean, new coach, also a little bit of luck, and plus Jordan Howard, sophomore running back from UAB, is very good. Should vie for Conference USA Offensive Player.
You would
of
the think
year
that you're his agent.
I'm telling you what, Jordan Howard is good. He really is, and he doesn't get a whole lot of attention. He doesn't get a lot of publicity, except for on this show right here outside
and
of
he has
the
no
state
I-
of Alabama.
He knows
he has
no
idea that. But I am rooting for you, Jordan Howard. I am. Just know that.
As he makes the heart sign with his hand.
Someone tell Jordan Howard he has a fan in Ruston, Louisiana. No, Rice is only favored by 10 in that game versus Southern Miss with an over-under of 57.5. So Vegas doesn't think that Rice is that good either.
Which is probably pretty correct. Let's take this break. Other side of the break, we'll talk with J.G. Tate from AuburnSports.com about Louisiana Tech Auburn happening Saturday in Auburn, and guess who's calling that one? Brent Musburger. That's a fact. 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 3 o'clock Central on the SEC Network. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. I'm Jonathan Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com and host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Jared, a couple of sponsors, then we'll get to J.G. Tate from AuburnSports.com on line one.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio is brought to you by the Keller Williams Parish Y Partners, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, and Dowling Smokehouse.
J.G., how's it going?
Hey now, sorry I missed your call earlier, man.
Get
my new copy of FIFA 15 for the Xbox One. Today's the launch day, so I'm pretty stoked about that.
Priorities are upon you.
Absolutely.
I hear you. Auburn off to a fast start. They're on the plains. Talk about this football team. Coach Holtz could not stop talking about the defensive line for Auburn.
Yeah, Auburn, it's kind of an interesting team. I don't know. They're kind of breaking down. I don't mean breaking down, but they're developing in a way that I didn't really expect. As far as defensively goes, they have so much experience on the defensive line. They have 5 guys who are either, I think they're fourth or fifth-year seniors, and the fourth-year guys have been playing their whole career. So they have so much experience and portability. Some of the guys play it in. Sometimes they'll switch inside. Sometimes the inside guys go outside. They play all kinds of different combinations and stuff. And, you know, I knew they would be okay because of that, but they've been actually better than that. And for years, you know, I've been here covering Auburn and watched a bunch of defenses go out there that were absolutely awful. They set new records, I think, 3 consecutive years for worst defense Auburn's ever fielded. But looks like they've turned that around a little bit, and their run defense is pretty dang good. It reminds me of the way it was during their championship year 10 years ago.
When you look at last week against Kansas State, what were they able to do that kind of kept them in the game? And I know Kansas State's not a bad football team. I mean, they're in the top 25, but they made Auburn look more pedestrian than anybody else has.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. I want to say Auburn finished with something like 45 rushes for 145, which is just nuts. Auburn usually gets at least 250, and generally they try to break 300, even against the good teams. Kansas State, just all I can really say about them is they were just coached well, and they were very principled in the way that they defended. That's something that Bill Snyder does really, really well at Kansas State. And when you're playing against Auburn, you've got to pay attention to your assignment. One of the things that Gus loves to do with that offense is create eye confusion. He's trying to put guys going in different directions, and he wants you to forget about your keys and kind of fall in love with the ball and try to chase the ball around. And that's when you get yourself into trouble. I think it's really hard to teach kids to do that 1 week in advance. But I think Kansas State makes that an emphasis 52 weeks a year. And that's, I think that gave them a huge advantage. They weren't tricked into letting their eyes drift. They stay on their assignment. And when you do that, Auburn can be slowed down.
How good have the receivers been for Auburn thus far?
I think, well, that's a good question, and it's difficult to answer in the sense that I think they have some guys who are really, really good. I think Duke Williams, known as DeKeel mostly, he's just an incredible slot receiver. They use him. He's 6'2", probably 215, and he's almost unstoppable on a slant. He just bodies you out. He reminds me of Anquan Boldin in the NFL. He's an outstanding player. I think he'll be a great pro. Sammy Coates is a guy they use as like the wide receiver, always outside. He's really good, too. Last year I thought he was incredible, but I don't know. He's not quite himself this year. He's dropped some passes, dropped a couple touchdown passes, dropped some easy ones against Kansas State. I know he's been banged up. He didn't play against San Jose State in game two. He came back last week, and they would play him sometimes, and then inexplicably he would sit down for two, three, four series. I don't know what's going on with him. Normally I would say he's a grade-A player, but he's been kind of a wild card this year. The number three receiver is Ricardo Lewis, the guy you may remember down there. He's the one that caught the big catch against Georgia, kind of a miracle play. He's a really solid, good guy. I'd give him a B-plus, B kind of guy. So they've got a lot of weapons. It's just, can they get the ball to them? Nick Marshall has not been great this year throwing the football for various reasons. And as a result, I don't think their passing game has been as healthy or as good as I expected.
Well, there's kind of a storyline on between these two rosters with Nick Marshall, the quarterback, and he when he was arrested at Georgia. Tech receiver Sanford C was there right along the side of him, and now Sanford is playing for Louisiana Tech. So there's your little storyline going into the game Saturday. I don't even know if you knew that storyline was there.
I'm just vaguely familiar with it. I don't know how much those guys talk anymore. You know, I don't know. I've been following Nick pretty carefully. I went to visit him when he was out in Kansas at junior college. And I learned during that trip that I have a mild case of agoraphobia. My goodness, man. When you go out into western Kansas, dude, there is nothing out there. I mean, yeah, you go 3 or 4 hours at 90 miles an hour, and you know, the human being.
That's a fact.
It's kind of scary. Anyway, Nick is just really trying to put himself behind what he did at Georgia. I think he's owned up to it and been a man about it, but you know, he decided he wanted to come to Auburn and restart things. And aside from a little misstep this summer, and I've got my own opinions about that, I think a lot more was made of that than probably was deserved. But he's been a clean living guy and hadn't gotten in any trouble. So I think they're pretty happy with what they've gotten out of Nick, both on and off the field.
When you look at go back to last week's game against Kansas State, they may have only averaged 1.3 yards a rush, but they ran it 30 times. Is that pretty normal that teams, even though they know they're not going to have a whole lot of success running the ball, they continue to just to make sure that they're not one-dimensional?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of have to do that against Auburn for sure. But Kansas State likes to run the football. They had a quarterback who is pretty mobile and kind of plays a lot like Nick. And it was kind of ironic because those two guys were Kansas State's top targets for the 2013 class. And they wanted them both. And anyway, Jake Waters is one heck of a player, and he runs the ball. And I think that's kind of what they do. And they run quarterback powers. They run some of that read option stuff. They really wanted to emphasize that, and Auburn put together a nice little scheme to slow him down. I think he finished with -7 overall. His longest rush of the day was 5 yards, so they really took him out of the game. It just shows you're capable of scheming up people and doing what they've got to do up front. Now, they were man-to-man everywhere else, and I wouldn't necessarily think that's a great thing for Auburn. You know, it's an every-down defense, but it certainly worked there.
We'll go ahead and we're towards the end of the segment. Give us your prediction of the game Saturday.
Well, I have a hard time with La Tech in the sense that I watched them play against Oklahoma, and I thought they played really well for a half, and then they had some trouble there in the second half, and then just blew the doors off North Texas and Lafayette. I mean, I like what they're doing. Kind of tripped out by the game last week, and I'm sure you were too. I don't think they're up to the task here. I really don't. I think Auburn's going to score, and they're going to stick with their game plan and try to run what they call their foundation play and get a little bit better in that sense. But I just think they're going to be a lot of trouble for La Tech. I'm seeing something in the range of, like, I don't know, 42-14, something like that. I mean, maybe everybody say, oh, he's an Auburn homer, but that's just what I'm seeing.
You're not – Nobody in this studio will disagree with you.
Okay, fair enough.
Appreciate it, JG, for joining us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
All right, take care. It's been a pleasure. Anytime you need me.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. JG Tate, AuburnSports.com, joining us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Good stuff from him. He's right there. Whenever you go on these kind of shows and you pick the other team, you pick it lopsided, you get accused of being a homer. I remember whenever Tech played A&M there in 2013, or 2012, I should say, I went on their A&M rivals message board and told them that the game would be close and that Tech would have a chance to win it. And you would have thought that I killed their dogs the way that they responded to me. So that is commonplace in this business.
Well, you just had to remember fan is short for fanatic, and they all take it just a little too seriously.
It is correct. We'll take this break. Other side of the break, we'll talk a little bit more Auburn, Louisiana Tech, right on the other side. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. Louisiana Tech takes on Auburn on the SEC Network, 3 o'clock, with Brent Musburger on the call. Jared, a couple of sponsors, then we'll get into that Auburn talk.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 7.
Sorry, I just don't like Brent Musburger, so I had to make fun of his name.
All right. Season 7 brought to you by Keller Williams Parish Y Partners, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, and Dowling Smokehouse. Give us a call on the Keller Williams Parish Y Partners hotline at 888-993-7762, 888-993-7762. Of course, you can email your questions to radio@bleedtechblue.com, or you can use Twitter with the hashtag BTBRadio. Ask us your questions on Twitter, and we will answer them on the air.
Brent Musburger to me is kind of like Chris Collinsworth. I don't like either one of them.
I'm not a Chris Collinsworth fan. I also don't like John Gruden, and I don't care what anybody says.
I like John Gruden, but that's because I'm a Saints fan, and he freaking loves Sean Payton. He's got a man crush on Sean Payton.
And people give John Gruden all of this credit for being such a great analyst, okay? He's a good analyst. He's a bad broadcaster.
He is a bad broadcaster.
He's a terrible broadcaster, and I've heard enough of your analysis, John Gruden. I can't stand listening to John Gruden. He ruins Mike Tirico's calls. Mike Tirico makes some good calls, and John Gruden kills it. He's like the Teddy Allen of...
Ooh!
Hey, Dave Nitz makes great calls, and Teddy Allen consistently messes them up. I'm sorry.
Brent Musburger, to me, makes everything overly dramatic. It could be 45-0 in the fourth quarter, and it is going to be overly dramatic. Gus Johnson, just like John... But for some reason, I like Gus because every game that Gus calls becomes dramatic.
I do like Gus Johnson. I'm not going to lie. I like Gus.
Especially in basketball.
Absolutely in basketball. Basketball is...
Not so much football, but he is awesome at college basketball. We have really digressed now. There's this football game Saturday in Auburn, Alabama.
Yeah, someone's playing against someone over there. No, look at the Auburn defense, and I know we talked about the defense with Jay Tate, but that defense has given up 2.5 yards per carry on the ground. They've given up a total of 258 rushing yards this season. Opponents are only scoring 16 points a game on them. Opponents have not scored any points off of Auburn turnovers, but Auburn has 46 points off of turnovers. And I had that number a minute ago with how many turnovers that they had actually forced. Regardless, though, that Auburn defense is good, and that defensive line is where it all starts.
I couldn't believe whenever you hear about Auburn, you normally hear about their offense. And yesterday at the press conference, Skip Holtz could not stop talking about their defensive line. So that tells you how good they are. Whenever you hear JG say that they're all fifth-year seniors and several of them have been starting for 4 years, there's no wonder.
There's some great names on the defensive side of the ball for Auburn as well.
They've also got a really good name of a receiver for Auburn. His name's Jonathan Ford. I mean, how much better could you get?
Jonathan Ford, sophomore, Auburn, Alabama. Played in all.
He's a defensive back. He's not a receiver.
Well, actually, he's not a defensive back either. Jonathan Ford actually went to Auburn to play running back. And last season, because he saw that he wasn't going to get on the field behind guys like Trey Mason and Cameron Artis Payne, he said, hey, why don't you switch me over to DB? We're short on DBs. I can play. They switched him over, and that's where
he's a team player.
That's where he's landed. He's got 21 tackles this season and an interception.
I hope they call him Jay Ford.
Me too. I hope they call it. I hope they call him Jay Ford too. Sure. Casanova McKenzie.
Wow. All-name team.
Also another great name. But Casanova McKenzie was actually who I was going to because he plays the linebacker position for Auburn and rushes off of the edge quite a bit to, I guess, add some additional pressure on the quarterback. Besides that defensive line, Casanova McKenzie rushes the quarterback a lot, has a sack this year, two tackles for a loss, has forced a fumble, and has a couple of quarterback hits. So another one to mention outside of that defensive line for Auburn.
When I look over the statistical rankings for Auburn, they're ranked third in punt return yardage, their first and third down conversion percentage, first and fourth down conversion percentage. Now, I'm sure they're tied for first because they're at 100%. They may have just gone for it first one time, but they're 63% on third down conversion.
That's very good. It's hard to beat somebody who is consistently converting on third down and extending drives.
But their offense is built on third and short. They're going to have lots of third and shorts.
Right.
It's very much like an option team. But, you know, one thing that JG talked about that I think that if Tech plays their game and they do play disciplined football, they could have a little success. They're going to get – they're outmanned and they don't have the depth to hang with them for four quarters. But like Kansas State, that style of defense where you're playing a lot of disciplined football, that's what – Manny Diaz does.
Well, so far this season, Tech has really been able to do a good job of keeping the ball in front of them as far as on defense. And that's what they'll have to do against Auburn as well. They did a good job of it against Northwestern last weekend. Keep your man in front of you. And as long as you can play disciplined assignment football, which Skip Holtz talks about every week, playing assignment football, but if they can stick to those assignments, play disciplined football, keep the ball in front of them, they'll be all right through two and a half, three quarters.
And you look at their scoring defense, they are 13th in the country at only giving up 16 points a game. Their pass efficiency defense, 32nd. Total defense, 23rd. I mean, this is a good football team. Rushing offense, 20th. Passing offense, not as good as they want it to be, I promise, at 83rd. Total offense, 34th.
That's including a big first half from Jeremy Johnson in the season opener against Arkansas when he went 8 of 13 for 246 yards on for passing offense. So you take out 246 of those yards that they've, you know, passed for, and you're looking at basically 400 yards in three games or in two games that Nick Marshall has actually accounted for through the air. Really not a dynamic passing offense, but that's not what they're looking to do. As Jay Tate mentioned, Duke Williams has 324 of those yards receiving.
This game, I don't feel bad about it in the first half. If this game was only two quarters, I feel okay about it. But unfortunately for Tech, it's four.
Yeah, it is. And
as will all of them this year.
It is a four-quarter game, and that's something else that Skip Holtz has mentioned, just playing 60 minutes of football. It's hard to ask your guys to go out and play 60 minutes of the football that is going to be required of you to hang close with Auburn because of the just the lack of depth that you have, especially along that defensive line, which is already injury depleted and suspension depleted, and then you're going to send them out there and play against a team like Auburn. So I understand that. I do think that Louisiana Tech will start out better than they did against Oklahoma. I think Tate had the halves confused. He said that Tech played really well in the first half and didn't do so well in the second half. Really, it was vice versa. They were able to do a lot more in the second half, which they started off fast against Northwestern State, and that wasn't necessarily just the opponent. It was also the coaching staff, you know, made changes to try to start out faster. And it should have been 21-0 at half after the end of the first quarter. So I do think this team will start off better in the first quarter against Auburn than they did against OU.
And I think some people are probably concerned with how this team bounces back from that disappointing loss to Northwestern State. I don't worry about that.
I don't think there's any bounce back to it. I think part of them were already looking to it anyway. And so they've been, some of them have been gearing up for this game for 2 weeks now. I don't think there's any bounce back to it. I think Tech will take that loss in stride and move on. Like Skip Holtz mentioned, they've got a 24-hour period where they can celebrate a victory or mourn a defeat. And after that, it's back to football and preparing for your next week's opponent. And I think this team, regardless of whether or not it was a big deal to lose to Northwestern State, I think they're disciplined enough to move on.
Let's take this break. Other side of the break, we're going to talk a little basketball. Louisiana Tech picked up a commitment over the weekend. TV schedule released today. From my count, Tech has the most TV games in the conference. So we'll get into that right after this. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio and ESPN Radio 97.7. A little basketball talk in this segment. Jared, a couple of sponsors, then we'll get into that basketball talk.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 7 is brought to you by Keller Williams Parish Y Partners, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, and Dowling Smokehouse. Give us a call on the Keller Williams Parish Y Partners hotline at 888-993-7762, 888-993-7762. Of course, you can email your questions to us at radio@bleedtechblue.com or use the hashtag BTB Radio on Twitter, and we will answer your questions on the air.
Louisiana Tech picked up a commitment from a three-star point guard out of the Tampa area. I know for anybody that knows Louisiana Tech's roster, that's not a surprise. They like the Tampa Bay area.
The whole state of Florida, they just love it.
Well, I mean, Chipley, Florida for Alex, and then the rest of them are all from St. Petersburg and Tampa. But Derek Jean from down there in that area, I tell you what, I really like what Derek Jean shows on tape. He's a 6'2", 6'3" point guard who can score, who can pass, who can defend. He's from Hollywood, Florida, MacArthur High School. Play for the Florida Flash, I believe, in the AAU team. Here down the stretch, he's gotten some interest from Oregon and Rutgers early in the process, an Ole Miss offer, West Virginia offer. He was down to Florida Atlantic, Florida Gulf Coast, Florida International, and Tech. Ultimately, of course, chose to come to Louisiana Tech out of UNC Wilmington offer. This is a big-time player. 6'2", 170 is what we have him listed at on Rivals.com. He'll fill in very nicely for Speedy as Speedy departs after this season.
Well, Derek Jean can score, but he also has—he certainly has the ability to pass the basketball. He sees the court really well, plays good defense, or as solid of defense as a high school player is going to play. But really has great court vision and makes good passes, makes smart passes, makes the right pass. I heard his nickname is The Goods.
It is.
Because that's all that he delivers. So regardless, we'll work on his nickname. But I think Derek Jean will fill in really nicely in a Alex Hamilton, or not really Alex Hamilton, but Speedy for Alex Hamilton role. I think Derek Jean is a pure enough scorer that he can certainly slash at the two position, but I do believe that he'll be, you know, certainly a point guard. Ford, I've been meaning to ask you, with the Derek Jean commitment, with the caliber of player that he is, do you think that Mike White is just doing his job while he's here, or do you think that the signing of Derek Jean could mean that Mike White is here for the foreseeable future?
I don't see Mike leaving for immediately. I mean, I think it's going to take the right job. That was proven this past offseason. If Tennessee's not the right job, and that's a very good basketball job, granted it's a bad situation right now, but if that job wasn't what it would take to get him out of Ruston, it makes you wonder what will. I know his wife is expecting their fifth child here very soon. His freedom around the program, being able to see his kids a lot, there's not many places that are going to give him the freedom that Louisiana Tech's given him, and he knows that. So I don't know that this is necessarily the indicator, but there's other indicators as well. I think it's more of a big picture thing than necessarily a one individual thing. And this is Tech's second commitment, going back to Derek Jean, Tech's second commitment for the 2015 class, sorry. The other one being Dominique Jackson, a former signee for Tech out of Beauchesne High School down in Arnoville, Louisiana. He's a two guard, and I think he's going to fill in the role, kind of fit a role very similar to what Keon McNeil did for Tech two seasons ago. It was last season. Man, it feels like it was longer than that. Last season that Keon filled kind of a score, good three-point shooter, can get to the rack and score. That's kind of what Dominique Jackson's role is. Tech does lose Speedy, Raheem, and Kaiser off this year's team. So there's three spots available in this signing class. I don't know that they'll add three in the early period. I think this may be it for the early period. Of course, they have a signing. They have two signing periods in basketball, an early one in November, and a later one in March. I think that's around when it is. Maybe it's probably after that because they wouldn't do it in March Madness. But they've got a second signing period later in the year. That's when I expect Tech to maybe pick up one or two more. With attrition, you never know who's going to transfer. So it wouldn't surprise me in the least to see Tech sign four in the 2015 class. One thing that I found interesting whenever you started doing some Google searches on Derek Jean, a blog called HoopScene.com follows high school basketball recruiting. They called it a steal for Tech, for Derek Jean to land at Louisiana Tech, and I'm pretty sure that I agree with them.
Well, there are some places that have him ranked as high as 71st at his position in the country, 52nd in his region, 20th in the state of Florida. No matter which way you cut it, certainly a quality player, and a player that Tech wouldn't have been in on had it not been for the success that Mike White has had with this team the past few years.
Yeah, when you see the success that Tech's gotten out of the state of Florida, there's no wonder why they've dipped into that fertile recruiting area. They did it last year in Mississippi when they got Xavier Stapleton and Janiah White out of the Jackson area. Louisiana just has been low lately. Hasn't been a whole lot of talent. They got Brandon Shepherd out of Huntington last season. I wouldn't be surprised to see Brandon maybe redshirt this season. But 2016 supposed to be a little bit better in the state of Louisiana, but we've been hearing that for the last few years that the state's it's going to be better next year. Next year's Louisiana's year. But Louisiana does produce lots of elite basketball talent. There's just not like in football where there's the middle of the road, quote unquote, mid majors like there are in football. I know that's a made up term from ESPN, but it works. So it's just different in basketball because all those athletes are playing football in this state. They're not playing basketball.
Right, and so many kids play only one sport these days. They try to specialize in one area in order to get that college scholarship. And so there's not as many players that play baseball, football, basketball. You don't have the shortstop in baseball that also plays the quarterback position in football and then plays the point guard or two guard in basketball anymore.
Hey, going into the TV contract for Conference USA basketball, by my count, Tech will play in six contract games for Conference USA's TV contracts with Fox Sports or Fox and CBS, and then play an additional game on ESPNU when they travel to Syracuse on December 14th, and I believe they'll play another one on ESPN3, and I think it is the NC State game. But going through the Conference USA TV contract, Tech will play on Fox Sports 1 when they host UTEP February 26th at 7 o'clock inside the TAC. And then they will host Middle Tennessee January 17th at 3 o'clock inside the TAC on Fox Sports Net. I think that's it on FSN and Fox Sports 1. And then on CBS Sports Network, they will travel to Birmingham on February 5th at 8 o'clock to play UAB, then travel to Charlotte to play UNC Charlotte at 6 on February 19th, and then finish the year with the last game of the season with Southern Miss here in Ruston at 7 o'clock on CBS Sports Network.
They'll also host Western Kentucky.
I missed that
on CBS Sports Network as well on January 29th at 6 o'clock tip. Four of the six conference games that Louisiana Tech will play on TV will be home games inside the TAC. Certainly be nice to see that at least that lower bowl full for all of those games like it was, last year. Really, when you looked at last year, Tulsa game was one of the best games that – the first Tulsa game was one of the best games that I've ever been a part of, the loudest that I've ever heard the TAC. Certainly, they're looking for that same –
I know you missed the Iona game.
I did miss the Iona
game. But Iona, that atmosphere was unbelievable. But yes, the atmosphere inside the TAC in the last couple of years has
vastly improved.
Vastly improved, and the video board last season helped immensely. But I've been told that season ticket sales in basketball are going very well. So if you're wanting a good seat in the red section of the TAC, you might want to get on the horn and call the ticket office. I believe between the baselines on the non-student side of the arena, there's not many seats to be had over there in the red. So if you want a ticket down low, you better get your call into the ticket office so you can get your ticket. I'm sure that the courtside tickets are sold out. They've probably been sold out for quite some time.
I would imagine so. I mean, those seats with as exciting as this team plays probably didn't last long.
They're worth every penny.
Absolutely, because we don't have – we get similar seats, except we have to stand.
or sit on our tuckuses.
Right, and they are worth it, absolutely worth it.
I'm really looking forward to this basketball season, and I think Tech's got has a really good chance of winning the conference. When you look at Southern Miss, new coach, they lost a ton. UAB is going to be better. UTEP's going to be just as good with former Tech Bulldog Tim Floyd at the helm. I think it's probably it's going to be a race between Tech, UTEP, and Charlotte more than likely. Western Kentucky comes into the conference. Western Kentucky's historically a very, very good basketball school. But I think those three will probably be at the top of the conference, with Western Kentucky and UAB being that second tier. And then I would venture to say the rest will kind of filter in there at the bottom.
For Speedy and Raheem and Michael Kaiser, you'd certainly like to see this year not only end with the Bulldogs winning a regular season Conference USA championship, but the tournament game, the championship game in the tournament, and going into the NCAA tournament. What a way to send them off it could be. Really, I mean, those guys are well-deserving.
Oh, without a doubt. And I think the conference probably did a little bit of a disservice to the Bulldogs last year, and probably to another team. The conference, you needed more than one team in the NCAA tournament last year. And, I mean, I don't know if the conference did enough or if they definitely did enough. But Tech deserved it. Probably Southern Miss deserved it. Tulsa was there. But I think that all three deserve to be there.
Yeah, and the argument could be made that maybe Southern Miss deserved it more so than Tulsa, or Tech deserved it more so than Tulsa, but that's not the way the chips fell. And
you
that's
got
the
an auto bid.
Right, that's the reason why winning the Conference USA regular season championship is just not enough.
Oh, without a doubt it's not enough. And I also look forward to seeing how Tyler Summitt begins to right the ship for the Lady Texters. Lady Texter fans are going to have to be patient. That's a bad situation, or it was, that he inherited. Lulu Perry was kicked off the team
right
here recently. A girl that every Tech fan had high hopes for because she scored so many points at Benton High School in the Shreveport area, but it just never she never made the transition to the collegiate game.
And I thought Summit handled it well, and I thought that Forrest's first, maybe bit of adversity.
Disciplinary action?
Yeah. I thought that he stayed true to his word and stuck to his guns. And though there would be some scrutiny, he kicked her off of the team. His exact words were that she just was unable to make the right decision, continued to make the wrong decisions away from the court, and thought that he handled it very, very, very with a lot of class.
And no, that's to be expected from his upbringing. Pat Summit handled everything with class at the University of Tennessee, so that's no surprise there. Let's take this break. Other side of the break, we'll wrap up the show, give our predictions of that Louisiana Tech-Auburn game happening on the Plains this weekend on the SEC Network. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. I'm Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com, host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Jared King, a couple of sponsors, then we'll wrap up the show.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio is brought to you by Keller Williams Parish Y Partners, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, and Dowling Smokehouse. Give us a call during this last segment on the Keller Williams Parish Y Partners hotline at 888-993-7762, 888-993-7762. Of course, you can email your questions to us at radio@bleedtechblue.com, or you can use the hashtag BTBRadio on Twitter, and we will answer your questions on the air.
One thing we didn't talk about early in the show that where we should have is how awesome the crowd was Saturday.
26,004 people in attendance.
Seats 27,700, is that right?
Seats 27,717 people. It was the third largest crowd in Joe IA Stadium history. It was the largest crowd since 1999 against NLU.
Whoa!
Well, no, they were NLU. They are no longer. They are now ULM. Regardless. Also, of that crowd, I've heard people poo-poo it and say, oh, well, it was because there was a bunch of timeout for Tech kids there and they don't support the university and blah, blah, blah.
Their money spends just the same.
There was 2,500 timeout for Tech kids there, and there was a line from the checkout of the bookstore all the way around the perimeter of the building and out the front door of kids from timeout for Tech buying Tech t-shirts to wear to the Tech football game. So please,
like I said, their money spends too.
Yes, do not poo-poo the timeout for Tech.
I did hear somebody say maybe they need to have timeout for Tech every weekend.
I mean it would put an extra 2,500 seats, fannies in the seats. I wouldn't be opposed.
The crowd was very good. We discussed it. There wasn't a whole lot to cheer about from the majority of the game. So that's probably the reason it was so quiet in there. Had Tech gotten all out to that 21-0 start like they probably should have, it would have been even quieter.
Right, it would have been even quieter. It was hard to get any kind of a text or a tweet or anything like that through in the stadium, but one of my wife's texts came through and she said, I thought you told me this game was going to be high scoring and fun to watch. My back hurts and I'm ready to go home. And I was just like,
hey-o.
I wonder if the rest of the crowd is starting to feel that way. Like, I thought this game was going to be, high scoring and fun to watch. Maybe that was part of the reason why the noise level wasn't
when
where
you got
it could have
seven
been.
Total turnovers in the game.
Yeah.
Sloppy football.
Absolutely.
Tech, of course, does travel to Auburn, Alabama this weekend to take on number 5 Auburn Tigers on the SEC Network at 4:00. Tech is a 33-34 point underdog on most of the sports books in Vegas. Not a good sign for Tech. They are doing well against the spread this year. 3-0.
3-0 against the spread so far this season. So whatever that tells you.
Who knows? 33 32. So yeah, it's in the 30s is the range, and the over under of 61. So 61 total points. I think there will be more points than 61 scored.
I agree. If that's the case, and Auburn is favored by 33, and let's say they cover, that's not very many points being scored by Louisiana Tech. I do think that Tech is capable of scoring more points than they did against Oklahoma. They put up 16 against Oklahoma. I think it'll be a higher scoring game than that. Certainly. Of course, we've still got 10 minutes, so I'm not going to reveal any part of my prediction.
Well, I'll go ahead and do mine. I never go first, so I'll go ahead and give my prediction. I see 48-21 Auburn.
With most of those points for Auburn coming on the ground?
More than likely. I still think that they could bust a long pass play because of the speed they have on that side of the ball. They've only given up 21 points once this season, and that was to Arkansas. 45-21 was that final. Arkansas's really good football team running the football, and while they were able to do it early, they weren't able to do it late, and Auburn ran away with it 45-21. The next week, San Jose State went into the Plains, lost 59-13, and then, of course, last week at K-State, 20-14. I feel good with that 48 or 49-21.
21 being would tie the most points that Auburn had given up to an opponent so far this season.
I can see Tech scoring a touchdown late, scoring one early, and then some one between the second and the third quarter.
That's usually about where the touchdowns occur, you know, in the quarters.
Hey.
John, do you want to go or do you want me to?
He doesn't have a
microphone. All right, I will go. I agree. I think that Auburn does score somewhere between 42 and 49 points. I don't think they eclipse 50. I don't think they don't have anything to gain from it.
Style points in the playoffs. They do have something to gain from it. I don't think they will, but
regardless, I don't think they're going to score 50. I think it'll be 48 for Auburn. And I've been really struggling trying to decide whether Louisiana Tech would score three times and it would be two touchdowns and a field goal, or three times it would just be three touchdowns. I think Louisiana Tech will score three times. Now, if they're able to stay as efficient in the red zone as they've been so far this season, which turns out to be perfect, with all of them being touchdowns, minus one, then I think it could be 21 points. So I'm going to say Auburn 48, Louisiana Tech 21.
We're right there together.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're stealing from me.
I think Louisiana Tech is going to score more points than they did against Oklahoma. So it had to be, you know, 17, 20, 21, something like that.
As a friend of mine who did have money on the Oklahoma game said, it'll be a backdoor cover.
A backdoor cover.
So where it doesn't look like they're going to cover, then all of a sudden they score a late touchdown, and it's that's how I see it unfolding.
Yeah, I could agree with that. A backdoor cover. I'm gonna take that and use it. John,
I'm at the same spot. 45-17 Tech barely squeezes in the cover, but it's never really close.
I could see it being close in the first quarter, but at the end of the day, does that matter?
Right. I could even see it being close. I could see it being a 10-point game at halftime.
24-14, I could see that.
Yeah, I could see 24-14, 20-10, something like that. But no, never really in question.
I've been to Jordan Hare Stadium once. If you've never experienced it, you need to go check it out. It's a very, very cool atmosphere. They're very hospitable. You won't regret taking the trip down there to see the game. If you're a college football fan, that's a location you need to check out.
Will at VJ4 be in attendance?
He will not be.
Will not be.
Been there once. It's enough.
I'm skipping a wedding this weekend for the sole purpose of watching this game and then doing the First National Bank postgame call-in show on Z107.5 afterwards. A little plug there, but
people getting married on this time of year. There's a guy sitting in the studio right now that Ben Carlisle, former Bulldog pitcher, that's getting married in October. Come on, man. You gotta know what time of year it is.
There's a week. There's an off week in October. So one can only hope that that is the week those nuptials.
Is that the week?
Those nuptials will be celebrated.
It's the
and
bye
it
week.
Is.
Oh,
and
it is.
It is the bye week. See, this is a man with a plan. This is a man who, with a plan, decided he was going to make sure that he didn't miss any Bulldog football. Schedule that wedding on a bye week.
That's right. Let's put this thing in a bow.
Wrap it up.
We all say the Bulldogs lose around 48-21, 48-17 in that range. I think the Bulldogs will show some promise. They'll show some fight. They're outmanned.
There are going to be some positive things to take away from this game, just like there were against Oklahoma, just like there were against Northwestern State loss as well. There'll be some positives.
There will be another game the following week, UTEP in Ruston, and then they'll have a bye week. They'll play bye, which they'll not win or lose. I think that's going to be a good break for them to nurse some injuries, get back to 100% for everybody. So the Bulldogs have a bye week at the perfect time of the season, and we'll talk more Louisiana Tech sports and recruiting, football, basketball, everything. Come check us out, bleedtechblue.com. 7-day free trial. You won't be disappointed. See you next time.
You've been listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio with Jonathan Ford. Listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on ESPN.